in a war that started well before 2019. Secrets have been buried deep beyond the pale. We're here to reveal the truth. It's time for Vaccine War Headlines.
This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war on tradition. This is a war on religion. This is a war on the children. They give you the cure with the sickness. This is a war. This is a war.
And it is a war. Thank you, Jimmy Levy. Vaccine War Headlines. This is volume 91 tonight. 91 weeks of going over these VAERS COVID vaccine adverse event reports. These numbers are good through February 23rd of 2024. Total reports, 1,630,913. Of those, 37,231 deaths. 214,906 hospitalizations, 154,245 urgent care visits, 242,537 doctor office visits, 10,767 anaphylaxis shocks, 17,688 Bell's palsy cases. Totally unknown before, or totally not seen before we started counting them through COVID. 5,115 miscarriages. Poor babies. 21,524 heart attacks. 28,214 cases of myocarditis, pericarditis. 69,936 people permanently disabled by these stupid things. 39,544 life-threatening cases. And 46,744 severe allergic reactions and 16,000 cases of shingles. All of these things, all these numbers keep continuing to grow. And yet, still, the shot is safe and effective? That's what they say. Well, new law would make COVID vaccine makers liable for injuries and deaths. This is good news. Children's Health Defense is among the organizations that support a bill introduced Tuesday by Representative Chip Roy of Texas that would remove the liability shield for manufacturers of COVID-19 vaccines and open the door for vaccine-injured Americans to sue companies like Pfizer and Moderna. The Let Injured Americans Be Legally Empowered Act, or also known as the Libel Act, would allow Americans who took vaccines that were misleadingly promoted and forced onto many Americans via federal mandates to pursue civil litigation for their injuries, according to a summary of the bill publicized by Fox News. These vaccines were given emergency use authorization unilaterally and did not go through the normal FDA process, the summary stated. The damages and fatalities caused by the COVID-19 vaccine demand accountability. This legislation represents a critical milestone in rectifying these injustices and paving the way for a more accountable future. This legislation is crucial for holding vaccine manufacturers accountable. That's a quote from President Mary Holland of the Children's Health Defense. So that's good news. Texas Lindsay tweeted this: new DNA contamination of COVID-19 shots and its potential health risks, cancer, autoimmune disease, etc., finally make the news. Let's listen to this video here.
Oh. Florida's Surgeon General says for us to stop getting the COVID vaccine.
Fox 35's Hannah McKenzie is joining us live in the Alert Center tonight. So, Hannah, he says what's in the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines is a problem.
Yeah, Luann, John, Florida Surgeon General Dr. Latipo says he has safety concerns pertaining to the discovery of billions of DNA fragments found per dose in the Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines. And he says those concerns have not been addressed by the FDA or the CDC. Dr. Latipo says if the risks of DNA integration with COVID vaccines cannot be addressed, then the vaccines aren't appropriate for use in humans. He says he sent letters to the heads of the FDA and the CDC specifically questioning how this would impact humans in three main areas: healthy human genes being transformed into cancerous cells, chromosomal instability, and how the integration could affect unintended parts of the body, such as the heart, brain, lungs, even the injection site itself. We asked local doctor Michael Sparks to weigh in. Dr. Sparks telling us with the state surgeon general saying one thing and the FDA another, health providers are left stuck in the middle.
You know, new things are scary. If we look back historically, we've introduced new medications that we were told were very safe, were going to be very effective, and they turned out not to be safe or effective, and they caused a lot of birth defects, things like that. So it's not unreasonable to be worried about things that are new. And that's where the research comes into play. There have been so many millions of doses of this vaccine delivered, though, that if we were to expect to see some of these, you know, theoretical problems, we should start seeing them.
I'm Angus Dalgleish. I'm a professor of oncology at St. George's, a consultant medical oncologist. And I have started to notice that several of my patients with melanoma who've been stable with stage 4 disease, they've had very good immunotherapy or other treatments, and I've been reviewing them from 5 to 20 years. I've noticed that I have now over 6, possibly 7, even an 8th yesterday, who've clearly relapsed following the booster vaccine. At first, we didn't put the two together. But when patients said, I felt awful since the vaccine, I've just been drained, they described symptoms of like a long COVID. And the next thing we know, 2-3 weeks, couple of months later, they've got clear evidence of relapse. And these relapses are quite aggressive. They're not a gentle relapse. They're relapses that are requiring systemic therapy as opposed to a little nodule that requires surgical excision. But it's not just this. I'm now very much aware in my own circle of many people who are having, they haven't got melanoma, but they've never had anything before, but they've got lumps and bumps and they're not feeling well. And two people I've interviewed at great length, they all put it down to feeling awful after their booster. They were fine with the first two vaccines, or just had shivers, flu, etc. But they've described being very tired, very fatigued, wanted to stay in bed. And this has dragged on to the point where they've gone to the doctor and they've had blood counts and investigations. And I now know 7 of them. 2 of them have leukemias and the others have lymphomas. And one of them has a very bad myeloma, which he was absolutely sure was instigated by the booster as he developed the dreadful symptoms. So I want to bring to everybody's attention that I think that this does not look like a coincidence to me. And we need to join forces and see if this is a real effect. And if it is, we must stop all the boosters immediately. Thank you.
If the media was legitimate, they would be talking about one of the biggest crises that's happening in this country right now, which is a massive increase in all-cause mortality.
Yeah.
It's a massive increase, and they're completely silent on it. It's like in some age groups, it's a 40%+ increase in all-cause mortality, heart attacks, strokes, cancer. Gee, what do you think happened that changed where all of a sudden there's this massive increase and it coincides with something else? Don't you think maybe they would investigate that? Don't you think that like you would have some sort of investigative reporter that dives deep into this and gets to the bottom of it? No, they can't. Because of what
captured.
You said.
They're
because
captured. They're captured. They're totally yeah. captured. 100%.
Exactly. That's why we exist and people like us. Somebody has to say it. Harvard drops the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Another good news story here. Harvard University Health Services confirmed this week that the school will no longer require students to receive a COVID-19 vaccine, although they still say, "We strongly recommend that all members of the Harvard community stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccines, including boosters if eligible," reads a notice on the university website. "Additionally, we continue to emphasize the benefits of wearing a high-quality face mask in crowded indoor settings." Okay, whatever. In early 22, university policies attracted considerable scrutiny in light of mounting evidence that two-dose mRNA vaccination coincided with a high rate of heart inflammation among young adults. "Students are the lowest risk of population on planet Earth," Johns Hopkins University medical professor Marty Makary at the time, he stated. He further described the vaccine mandates as a kind of martial law. Well, I think Professor Makary has it right there. Chief Nerd tweeted this out: "No contract order issued for Kalamazoo River after a chemical spill at Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine plant. So not only are they hurting our bodies, now they're hurting the environment." How crazy is that?
Leaders in Kalamazoo were warning people to stay away from the Kalamazoo River after a chemical spill involving a substance known as methylene chloride. The city is currently running testing to determine the exact level of chemical that leaked into the water. Tonight, News Channel 3's Carter Landis spoke with officials about what the chemical is and the potential dangers it can pose.
The city of Kalamazoo estimates that up to 1,057 gallons of methylene chloride spilled into the Kalamazoo River just a few days ago. The Kalamazoo Water Reclamation Plant is permitted and designed to treat up to 291 gallons per day. For reference, just to show you how big of a difference that is, here's 291 gallons inside of 1,057 gallons. Methylene chloride is an odorless, colorless liquid that is often used as a solvent in the manufacturing of pharmaceuticals. Marcus Wasilewicz, a toxicologist at the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, says high concentrations of methylene chloride can be harmful if people were to come in contact with it.
It can be absorbed into the human body through three routes of exposure. It can be absorbed through the skin, it can be inhaled, and it can be absorbed into your digestive tract if you were to swallow it.
According to Wasilewicz, methylene chloride is a very volatile chemical. It gets into the air easily, making it easy to breathe in.
And inhaling it in large quantities can lead to central nervous system conditions such as dizziness, nausea, tingling in the fingers or toes. Low-level inhalation of methylene chloride can lead to a lack of attention or hard-to-do hand-eye coordinated tasks.
The city wants people to know there is no methylene chloride in the drinking water. They are currently in the process of testing the water, collecting samples to determine just how much methylene chloride actually made it into the water. They expect those results next week.
Every time we have an event, we learn from it, and it's our goal to apply that knowledge not only to the manufacturer that we're working with, but to other industries as well. I think everybody can learn from this event, and we're going to be looking to apply that knowledge as we go through and do those inspections over the next year.
Pfizer releasing a statement to News Channel 3 saying they will continue to work with the city of Kalamazoo and that they are firmly committed to assessing and minimizing any potential impacts on human health, the environment, and the communities in which it operates.
So not only are they poisoning the water, but this chemical is in all these vaccines.
So it's not safe and effective.
Yeah.
Effective to what?
I don't know. Pfizer scientists confirming the risk of mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. Justin Leslie, a former operative with Project Veritas and O'Keefe Media Group, and a scientist previously involved in vaccine formation at Pfizer, has brought to light unreleased recordings that raise serious questions about the pharmaceutical giant's development and promotion of its vaccines. So the first video here is principal scientist Pfizer Conwal Gill in 2021.
This video here is from October 6th, 2021. I had a meeting with my manager, Conwal Gill. a principal scientist working on the vaccine formulation at Pfizer. In this meeting, I asked her if it was okay to give people another experimental injection regarding the booster shots, or if it was a drive for money.
So are we,
but we are still,
like, do we know that, like, I mean, just thinking, like, ethically, like, is it okay to, like, give people another experimental injection? Like, are we sure it's going to be safe and effective? Or are we just rolling these out because we want to roll them out for money? Like,
yeah, this is a real time data that we are generating. We don't even know. When we started vaccinating people, we had no idea how it's going to look like. Yeah. mRNA vaccines have been there for 50 years. No, but nothing made to clinical. Why? Because mRNA vaccines have been known to have side effects.
Right.
But Moderna has been working on it for 10 years. This is not the new thing. Right. But why it did not reach trial was because of all these side effects. We, Pfizer and Moderna, used the emergency and the pandemic to kind of get through it now.
Okay.
But, you know, we didn't, but even CDC noted, we
so
don't have
data. So it
can
never get FDA approved until we had this emergency, right? Like, we had to try something new. So, but why didn't we try, like, a vaccine formulation that has been effective in the past, like with egg yolk or something that they use with flu, right?
Yeah, so we here did not do it because we already have collaboration with BioNTech on flu before actually COVID happened. So mRNA, so what a story behind we starting on this, because BioNTech guy, Ugur Sahin, the BioNTech CEO, he called Katherine Jensen.
Sahin?
Yeah, he called Katherine Jensen and he's like, hey, I have this technology, but I don't have resources to make it big. So Katherine was like, well, we had a collaboration in place before for flu. So we wanted to give it a shot. It is a new mRNA thing. Nobody knew anything about it. We never had this. Everything is just fresh from
it's
last
like
year.
Learning on the fly.
So it was on a fly. Pandemic, just roll it out. There was no time to think. It was a time to act.
There was no time to think. It was a time to act, she says. Then she states it takes 10 years for a vaccine to come out. It takes years of observations. We're doing everything at the same time. So let's listen to this one.
Conwell then goes on to say that the vaccine was not so effective and says that the mRNA and LNPs are very sneaky.
Only Johnson & Johnson side effect came out quickly, like there was a clog, that clot that was happening with Johnson & Johnson's.
Right.
But other than that, mRNA and LNP are very sneaky, I think. We are not still seeing a lot of, like, huge complications.
She goes on to highlight how the clinical trials completely skipped normal clinical trials and went straight up, all at once, to phase 3.
There are three types of trials, right? Phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. We just went straight up. Right?
Yeah.
We just did this. But this is why it takes 10 years for a vaccine to come out.
Yeah.
It takes years of, you know, observation, blah, 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 1, then 2 and 3. Here, we are doing everything at the same time. So, everybody is as puzzled.
Yeah.
Nobody has 100, even CEO, Pfizer CEO, and even Ugur Sahin won't have answers. Because they are, like, looking at it, closely watching it.
Yeah.
At this point, that's all we can do. And I feel like, yeah, it's also becoming a money game. This is where it started. So problem is distribution of vaccines to those populations, to those countries. By the time it reaches there, this vaccine is now not useful.
I'll ask you this one. Why are we worried about booster shots over here if we're going to, like, shouldn't we be giving them?
Of course, but there's so much of politics, right?
It's all about politics. She said it, not me. Then we've got Ramin Davari. They're engineering it specifically for me to take the next one so it increases my consumption.
This is Ramin Davari, the pharmaceutical formulation scientist from Pfizer, one of the head honchos of the COVID-19 formulation team. This clip was from October 21st, 2021. Just listen to what he has to say about the safety issues of the vaccine.
My mother called me 2 days ago and said that her therapist's friend told her that her friend took a booster shot and died like the same day, I think, in her bathroom. I don't know if it was Pfizer, but like,
the only booster shot so far is in Pfizer.
So, I mean, well, it must have been Pfizer. And I'm just like concerned that, like, I mean, she was relatively old. She was 77, apparently. But I mean, it's kind of scary to me.
That's the thing. Just people die every day.
I think it's something that we should look into and make sure that the boosters
are looking into it.
Yeah.
It's just not our job to look into that.
Basically. Yeah.
But there are people within Pfizer, all the clinical people.
Okay.
That's and the safety people.
Right.
There are people who are not only looking at that, actually, there are reports that come to Pfizer, zillions of them every day.
Zillions.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Pfizer gets mad when they don't mandate it?
From a business perspective?
Yeah.
It's just like saying, you think the chips companies, they're going to get mad if somebody says chips is not good for you? Of course.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I mean,
they don't care if people just eat chips all day and die, because their job is
to sell chips.
Engineering it the way that I take. No, it's not even selling it. It's for me to take it, basically, right? Because otherwise I won't buy it.
Right.
Yeah. So you forget about those parts of business, basically. So
yeah.
Yeah. They're engineering it specifically for me to take the next one.
Right.
So increasing my consumption, and increasing my consumption, guess what? It's going to affect my heart, and I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, I know.
And then we've got Died Suddenly posted this one. The annual flu vaccine will be transformed into an mRNA vaccine. News at 6.
Well, the Food and Drug Administration today proposing to make COVID shots a lot more like the annual flu shot, simplifying the process to one shot a year. The FDA will decide on Thursday whether to go forward with the idea, and at the same time, researchers are working on a new flu shot that will be a lot more like a COVID shot. Ursula Perry with how new technology is working its way into old vaccine protections.
The COVID pandemic required scientists to move fast, bringing vaccine technology that had been studied for years but not approved front and center.
And I think that when the world had an urgent need for vaccines, when SARS-CoV-2 virus hit that causes COVID, then it became an opportunity to test this new approach to vaccine development.
Traditional vaccines put a weakened germ into our bodies, but mRNA shots like the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines teach cells to make a protein that triggers an immune response if someone gets infected. Researchers take that mRNA template and can encode it for the flu or other infectious diseases. It would also make it easier to tweak during flu season if there's a different dominant strain that's circulating.
It's a technology that can be deployed pretty rapidly.
Dr. Obu Agu says the mRNA flu vaccine would not necessarily be better than the traditional shot, but it does mean more people would be protected.
But remember that some individuals do not tolerate the already approved influenza vaccine, so this gives them another option.
The mRNA vaccine for the flu is currently being studied, and we could have the results as soon as March. Meantime, other studies are underway on other vaccines for other diseases, including Lyme disease, rabies, HIV, and even Zika. Ursula Perry, KSAT 12 News.
So they are going to be putting this mRNA technology into all of the vaccines sooner or later. And we saw at the very beginning of this report that doctors are actually noticing the fact that cancers are coming back from being dormant, and it's causing all sorts of heart issues. They're completely ignoring the millions of injuries and deaths reported by the mRNA COVID vaccines and the numbers that we read at the beginning. So it's still a war. That's it for tonight. Let's close it on out.
Thank you for listening to Vaccine War Headlines, a production of Digging Deeper. Theme music provided to Digging Deeper by Drucifer the Aberrant. Beyond the Pale.